Tom, Goddard College hosted its first alternative media conference in 1970. Here we are in 2013. How do you define alternative media? What are we talking about here?
Well, back in the 70s, the alternative media was the alternative newspapers, by and large. And, well, actually, there was also radio. But there wasn't, we weren't in the digital age, let's say. You know, the internet hadn't been created. But generally speaking, I'd say alternative media is the alternative to what's considered typically to be the so-called mainstream media, which is largely the corporate media in the United States.
We're in this transitional period when we're seeing a lot of erroneous news reporting. You know, so much of the initial information surrounding Sandy Hook school shootings and the Boston bombings was just wrong. How concerned do you think we should be about this form of hyper-journalism?
I am very concerned about it, frankly. Prior to 1987, when Ronald Reagan stopped enforcing the Fairness Doctrine, which did not, contrary to everybody's hysterical opinion, say that if a radio station carries an hour of Rush Limbaugh, they have to carry an hour of Tom Hartman. What it said was that in order to get a radio television station license renewed, you have to demonstrate that you're serving the public interest, which typically meant actually having news. And so combine that with Reagan's, in 82, essentially stopping enforcing the Sherman Antitrust Act, which led to the mergers and acquisition mania of the 80s, the M&A, Michael Milken, all that stuff. And what you ended up with is a massive media consolidation combined with a shift from news to infotainment. And then when Bill Clinton signed the Telecommunications Act of 1996, it put that whole system on steroids. And so now the search is for eyeballs. Who's got the story fastest and all that kind of thing, because it's all being driven by ratings, which is all being driven by money from advertisers. And I don't think that that serves the public interest.
There was an op-ed in the New York Times just this past week by Frank Bruni, and he wrote that he was bemoaning how every news event has become instantly politicized. You know, the memory of those lost in Benghazi is overshadowed by the political fallout, and a tragic shooting leads to speculation over the future of New Hampshire Senator Kelly Ayotte, who voted against gun control measures. Do you think alternative media is playing a role in turning news into political propaganda?
It's conceivable. I think one of the concerns that I have is that we are creating silos, that progressives only listen to progressive media and only watch progressive television and only read progressive websites, and conservatives only do the same on their side. In fact, one of the things that startles me, I'm one of the few progressive hosts who regularly has conservatives on. In fact, more of my guests are conservatives than on my side. It's very rare that I actually have progressives on. And it, so often, they will bring up topics or use talking points that I have no idea what they're talking about, and vice versa. And it's because we're listening to different media. We're getting our information from different media. I don't think that that's, at the end of the day, necessarily a good thing for America.
How do we fix a problem of conservatives only sitting down with conservatives and liberals just sitting down with liberals?
I really think that we need to go back to what we had from the 1920s until 1987, which is the notion that if somebody's going to be using the public airwaves, they have to be performing a public service, at least in some small part. And that typically would be news. And go back to the idea that licensure, use of the public commons, as much as they were diluted by the Telecommunications Act, use of the public commons is dependent upon on that public service. I think we need to go back to real news.
You have a regular segment on your show called Brunch with Bernie, where you sit down with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. What role has the senator played in influencing your politics and your radio program?
Well, I think my politics have always been pretty much identical to Bernie's. I can't off the top of my head think of any areas where we have any substantive disagreements. I may push things a bit farther and more loudly than he would, but in some areas. The Brunch with Bernie segment on our radio show started out back when we were doing the show in Vermont, from Vermont, and he was our congressman. And it was just a kind of a lark, you know, let's try this out and see what happens, because it broke every rule of radio. I mean, I was doing syndicated progressive talk radio at the time, and everybody says, you know, the host has to control the show. It's got to be all about the host, blah-de-blah-de-blah, you know, Rush Limbaugh, et cetera. And I said, well, let's just let Bernie have this hour. and I will stop playing host and basically play, not even call screener, but call putter on the error, introducer. You know, I mean, we screen out people who are obviously intoxicated or screaming obscenities, but, you know, pretty much anybody with any question on any topic, Bernie will take it. And sometimes he'll say, I don't know. Sometimes he'll say, it's not my issue. So, you know, but he'll take it. But it broke all the rules of traditional talk radio. And it's really interesting because it's turned into one of the most popular segments on our program. And I think one of the more popular segments in the whole digital realm. People are seeking out that hour of our program.
Tom, you'll be giving a presentation this weekend on why you've devoted your life to alternative media. Can you give us the cliff notes on this? What is it that you want to say to your audience?
Let me go back to something Thomas Jefferson once said, and I'm paraphrasing from memory, but I think it's pretty close, that if I had a choice between living in a country without newspapers or a land where there were newspapers but no government, I would surely choose the latter. And he said this as president during a time that he was under merciless attack from the newspapers. I think that having an informed electorate and a vibrant press and a wide spectrum of political, economic, social opinions being represented is vital to having a functioning small d democracy and a small r republic. And to the extent that I can become part of that, I'm absolutely committed to that. As I said earlier, this is one of the reasons why I constantly have conservatives on my program, is I want to highlight the issues, bring out the debates, and try to dig into the structure behind them. What are the ideas that are animating these things? What's really going on here? You know, this really isn't just this surface argument about, you know, the IRS or Benghazi or whatever. There's something deeper going on. Let's try to bring that out.
Tom Hartman, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Neil.